So now on over the phone, I have my first guest, Adeline Ogunowo. Like I said, hi, Adeline.
Hi, Oga. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah.
So I was introducing you earlier, so I think I'll just do that again. She is a strategic management consultant and also a social entrepreneur. Adeline is the founder of Breakforth, a non-governmental organization with a mission to fight poverty in all forms, everywhere, by empowering women and girls through education, skill training, entrepreneurship, mentoring, and lifestyle program. So without adding much to that, I'll just let her speak for herself. So first of all, Adeline, my question this morning is, what inspired you to do things like this? You know, most of the time, we women, some of us tend to procrastinate a lot, you know.
Okay, thank you so much, Olga, and I'm so delighted to have the opportunity to be speaking today. Really, I would say Breakforth actually was birthed from a passion to help women. Okay. Because for me, I discovered actually being raised back in Africa, I discovered and I've been opportune to see many women go through so much stuff. And I just thought to myself that it would be great to actually come in and create a solution to help these women to become better people, and through that they'll be able to actually help their families to break free from poverty. I discovered that 70% of the world's poorest are women, with statistics indicating that women are more likely than men to be poor and at risk of hunger, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, where I come from. And some estimates also show that 2/3 of the world's illiterate are also female. And the vast majority of children that are not in school are girls. Mm-hmm. And the most affected by violence of all sorts are women. So seeing all this, and like I said earlier, and having grown up in Africa and seeing all the suffering that women have gone through, I just felt the need to step in and to make a difference in the lives of those women that are suffering. Because I believe, and our organization believes strongly, that when you empower a woman, you empower an entire community, an entire nation. So we believe that by empowering women, women will be able to break free from poverty, and also the children will live a healthier life and a better life. So that's what actually inspired myself to start this NGO. Yes.
And I know that you travel a lot, because I've been trying to get you to come in, and then you were telling me so many things, you know. So how has that affected your life, or kind of enhanced the things that you do? Or let me rephrase the question, like, when you go to all this location and you talk to these women, how does it make you feel?
Okay, very good. Some years ago, I met a woman called Ellen Sisters.
Okay.
And honestly, when I met this woman and she told me a story, my heart was really broken, because this is a woman that is a widow. She lost her husband some few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Has 7 children in the range of, I would say, age range of, say, 13 to 2.
Okay.
And this woman, after the death of her husband, she was sent packing out of her husband's house. So that really broke my heart, because I just could not fathom how a woman that was doing well got married, and because of the death of her husband, she was sent packing out of her house. So that really got me going. And that's not the only case that I actually came in contact with. I came in contact with so many other women that had similar story, Ellen Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So what I actually got from that is that, unfortunately, when we talk about poverty,
mm-hmm.
poverty actually, it's man-made, I say. It's man-made, because women, we have the ability, we have the power to change our world and to change the world of others. Mm-hmm. But due to broader ecosystems that prevent we women, or prevents majority of women, especially women from sub-Saharan Africa, to leave poverty behind, whether it be the lack of poverty rights, like in the case of this lady I just talked about, the lack of property rights, the likes of violence against women, the likes of abuse of all kinds against women, the likes of community laws, the likes of government corruption, the lack of social exclusion, inequality. So when you meet these women, they have different stories. But when you try to tie the stories together, you will see that poverty, most of them, the poverty that they find themselves in, are actually man-made poverty. Man-made poverty by the system, been failed by the system. So that's why we are working so hard to make sure that things like violence against women, things like access to quality education for those women are available. Because with things like this woman will be able to get back on their feet. I'll be able to become who that they were created to be. So that's what it inspired me. Like you said, I've traveled around Africa and also have the opportunity to live in Ireland. I've visited other Western countries. And of course, poverty is everywhere. But at the same time, I think in sub-Saharan Africa, poverty is in a higher level when it comes to women from rural Africa, yes.
And do you not think that sometimes it could be the culture as well, the culture of the people there, that also creates this poverty? Because sometimes these women, they might have the inbuilt ability to help themselves, but they might not have the capacity because of the culture surrounding the issues.
Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. That brings it back to what I just said in terms of the ecosystem, the culture, not the traditional norms, cultural, ingrained cultural norms. The likes of, for example, because you're a woman, you cannot do certain things. Because you're a woman, you have to do that, and you don't have to do that. And that's especially, I think, in the area of, that's where the area of inequality comes in, gender inequality comes in. Some cultures or some traditions believe that because you are a woman, you are restricted to a certain type of job. You are locked up in a box. You can't do that and you can't do this. They would now talk about domestic violence, and that's what we talked about when they talked about property rights. Okay. In some places, women are not allowed to own properties. Women can farm in the land for years, but yet, because of the culture of the community, where they believe that women are not allowed to own farms or to own properties, they do not give those women the properties as a permanent property. So, hence, these women will farm, and after farming for a while, maybe the owners of the property will come and take the property off those women. So that's injustice. After these women have found use this property for so long. So we need a mind shift. We need a cultural or traditional mind shift. Mm-hmm. All this culture, the traditions that hold women back from being who they were created to be, these cultures, these laws are things that governments, especially our government back in sub-Saharan Africa, they have to come up with policies, gender-based policies that will protect the rights of women, that women will be able to have access to properties, access to land where they can farm, and the way they can make a living for not only themselves but also their children. So you are very right, Ogo. Yes, you're so right. Cultural, ingrained cultural and traditional norms and practices are actually holding these women down in poverty.
Okay, so now we've talked about some of the problems or issues that can hold them down in poverty. So now let's talk about the empowerment angle that's coming from the work that you do in Breakforth. So I know you mentioned skill training and education. So how do you exactly mentor these women?
Okay, 4 weeks, but we have four focus areas. We have economic empowerment. Okay. We have the girls' child education. We have gender justice, which is violence against women and girls. Okay. It brings in gender inequality, gender equality, and we have leadership and participation. Under our economic empowerment program, we have microfinance,
okay,
and we have training, the skill training and capacity building program, and we also have access to market. Mm-hmm. So we do actually we through our community volunteers or through our community workers, we identify women with needs, women that are living within the poverty line. And what we do is we get those women in and we train them. We train them on financial literacy. Through our training and capacity building programs, women are able to build and strengthen their capacity for success. What this program does is that it assists these women to acquire the necessary skills that they need, mm-hmm, to enable them to influence their lives and effectively participate in income-generating activities. So what we do is we ask them what they are passionate about doing, and women will say they want to sell stuff, so women will say they want to go into farming, so women want to go into stock. So whatever they want to go into, we organize trainings for them,
okay,
in that area. And after they complete the training, we now give them microfinance. Mm-hmm. And we help them to start up the training. Then in the area of mentoring now, we look for established women in, mm-hmm, business, mm-hmm, that can actually mentor them for 6 months. They mentor them for 6 months, and after 6 months, they launch them into their businesses. And what we also do, we also give them access to market. What I mean by that is we also look for other big organizations that will need their services or will need their goods, and we introduce them, we connect them to such organizations. So that's what we actually do in the area of economic empowerment. And like I just said now, education is vital.
Mm-hmm.
So right now an initiative called the Girls Arise Initiative, mm-hmm, because we believe that when you catch these girls young at a very early age, you will be able to condition their mind, and we'll be able to empower them very early age, so they don't find themselves in the position of these women that are already suffering in poverty. So we have a fund for girls' education. We encourage girls to go back to school, even the ones that find themselves in a very terrible situations, the likes of pregnancy. We encourage these girls that, look, pregnancy should not stop you from going back to school. So, mm-hmm, we encourage them to go back to school. And we also assist these girls with fees, the ones that don't have the money to go back to school. We also assist them with fees, let them go back to school. And we also encourage their fathers, because back in African areas, especially in Nigeria, we discovered that Nigeria have the highest rate of girls that are out of primary school. Can you imagine, mm, that, Ogo?
Mm.
The highest rate of girls that are out of school in primary level. So what we do in the areas, especially in the northern areas where girls are allowed to go to school, we've just recently come up with an initiative called the Men Do Care. So what we are doing is we are advocating for those girls. We are speaking to the fathers, and we are highlighting the benefit of education, why these girls need to go back to school. So that's the area that we're working in when it comes to girls' education. Then gender justice, violence against women and girls. Mm. And we've discovered that violence, many women are tied back. They are held back from becoming who they've been created to be. Because when we define poverty in Breakthrough, we do not measure poverty only by income. We also measure poverty by restricted access to education, to other essential services. And we've discovered that abuse is a major, major cause of poverty. Violence is a major cause of poverty. So we're working very hard to see how we can eliminate gender-based violence to a large extent, so that these women have freedom of action to do whatever they deem it fit for them to progress to the next level.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. So tell me now, we've talked about gender justice and mental care, and also from the mentoring side of it, I'm looking at leadership now, because
yes,
when you see somebody that is succeeding, then they mentor and coach another woman in order to empower her, you know, help her with her skills, even help her through education. Education might not be just that you're going to school, you know. So now tell me about this event you have coming up this Saturday called The Stall.
Okay, The Stall is one of our initiatives. And 2-3 years ago, we started a project. Well, no, I would say it's an initiative called the Migrant Women in Business Network.
Okay.
It was discovered that in Ireland, most of us, when we actually relocated from our home country to Ireland, we discovered that the ecosystem in Ireland is quite different from our home countries.
Okay.
Men and women back then that started their businesses actually faced quite a number of challenges because they were not aware of most laws, most business laws that were operating here in Ireland. So most of them faced a lot of challenges, and that led to their businesses packing up. So we just thought to ourselves that we would not want upcoming business migrant women to suffer or to face such challenges. And we now ask ourselves, how can we minimize the pitfalls? How can we minimize situations where these women will not fall into the same problems or the challenges that the women that started businesses, say, 10 years ago, found themselves in? So we decided to come up with a group called the Migrant Women in Business Network.
Okay.
And what this platform is for is connecting prospective business women to established business women. They can actually mentor those women and help them to guide them through their business so that they will not fall into the same pit that the other women are falling into. So that's what the Migrant Women in Business is about. So we came up with a program called The Stall.
Okay.
And The Stall is a platform, yes, where migrant women in business, we actually have the opportunity to showcase, to promote, and to market their goods and services. So every year we do The Stall. So coming on Saturday, in commemoration of the United Nations Day for the Eradication of Poverty, we're looking at organizing The Stall on Saturday.
Okay.
Anyway, just to say here, the UN Day for Poverty Eradication was the 17th, was on Monday.
Okay.
But we thought that it would be better to do it on a Saturday because we have more people coming and to actually market the goods and services of those women. So Saturday, the 22nd of October, we're going to be having The Stall in Tala, where those women will come in, showcase, promote their goods and services, and we're going to invite the general public to come in to buy, you know, to buy the goods and services of those women. So we believe that by this, it's also a way to raise awareness on the businesses that we migrant women in Ireland run. And it's not only the profit sectors. We are looking at having women-led non-profit organizations to also come over and showcase what they do. So that's what The Stall is basically about.
Okay. Well, Adeline, I would like to say a big thank you. And that's just the time that we have for this interview. So I wish you all the best. And then hopefully I'm going to contact you later today. Thanks for being my guest. And then keep doing what you're doing. Unfortunately, this Saturday, well, I don't know what my program is yet. I might just come in. Yeah. I'll try. Yeah.
It'll be nice to have you around, Ogo.
What time is it? What time will it be? From what to when?
Okay, start starting from 12:30 to 5 p.m. in the evening.
Okay, maybe I might just take a long drive. I was in, what do you call it, Church last Saturday. So maybe I'm now doing Southside every Saturday, but that's fine.
That would be great to have you around, girl. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Well done, and keep going, girl.
Thank you so much.
All right, then.
So appreciate it. Yeah.
Bye. Bye.